Hey everybody, welcome back to Discipleship Podcast. Just want to give you an update for the fall of 2023. We are talking about how to make the kingdom of God tangible in our everyday lives throughout the week. And on Sunday, we're meeting as house church, so these recordings will be a little more intimate and interactive, and you may even hear some group discussion, but I think you will enjoy it. Please, if you do, leave us a review, go check out our Disciple Makers YouTube channel, and be sure to share about it with your friends. Thank you so much, and now, here's the episode. But you can apply this to many areas of your life. I actually forwarded an image to Rich and Dennis and Steph and Trey and others. And if you could forward that image to the group meeting or whatever else, give it around and then share with your neighbor. There's one image I have to go with my lesson today for gospel competency. But again, you can apply it to many areas of your life. So quick example, what do I mean when I talk about competency? Well, let's say just in having a quiet time. Recently, a brother shared with me, he said, you know, I haven't been having quiet times. Perhaps you've been there. And that's a tough place to be in. So competence, actually, it can start right there. But before that brother realized that, he had what's called unconscious incompetence. He didn't know how to have a quiet time. He wasn't having a quiet time. And he didn't know what he didn't know. There was an ignorance there. And many of us start there before we know how to have quiet time, before we know how to pray, before we know what the gospel is and how to share it. But then we know, right? We hear a Sunday morning lesson like this. I say, hey, go have quiet time, and you have awareness. All of a sudden, you have conscious incompetence. Great. I know I'm supposed to have a quiet time. Never done that before. I guess I'll go out and figure out how to do it. So that's a little bit tough. It's a little bit daunting because you haven't done it before, but now all of a sudden you have the awareness. So you go from ignorance up to awareness. But it's tough. Now you're aware. Now you actually have to do it, which would be conscious competence or application.
Okay.
That's tough because to actually apply and do something and get experience in it, it takes a lot of intentionality to do it at first. And you're not going to be very good doing it at first. If it's your quiet time, if it's your prayer life, if it's sharing the gospel, you're going to fail at first. You're going to be new to doing it. You're not going to want to have intentionality at first. You're going to need some help. Maybe you're going to need a buddy to walk with you in that. But after putting it into practice and doing it for a while, you finally arrive at unconscious competence. So you don't have to be as intentional. You don't even have to think about it. You wake up and go, all right, I'm going to start having my quiet time. Or you don't even have to intentionally think about, how can I share the gospel with this person? You're just going to be dripping God wherever you go and talking about, hey, this is what I read in my quiet time. You don't even have to think about that too much. You know, there you go. Or in your prayer life, just the thanks be to God. I love how Hiley opened us up with continuing to give thanks to God. So today's just the fusion of learning the gospel with that idea of moving from ignorance to awareness to application to integration, where it's throughout our life, where we don't just know it or we don't have to just intentionally think about it, but we naturally just, it's an extension of who we are and an overflow from the heart. Right. So I hope that image is getting shared around.
Yes.
Okay. That's just a picture that puts that graph and puts it all together. And I need your help co-creating this. So we've done a few lessons on it over in Bend, and I just took all those lessons and combined them into one for this Sunday, and we'll move a little quickly. There's a grammatical error in that image. Let me know if you can find it. Let me know if something seems a little off, because I just created it, and I might be wrong, but I might be right. It's a good idea that we're talking about today. Let me know afterwards if you can improve upon it. We're going to start in Luke chapter 2. With the idea of when we're in this place of unconscious incompetence, if we have ignorance and we're learning about the gospel, hey, where do I even start? And I think of Jesus and how he started. Really quick, before jumping into Luke 2, I'll take another snapshot from Luke 10:21. After Jesus sent out the 72 to share the gospel, they come back and they're all rejoicing, and Jesus says this really quickly. In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. So, hey, they're doing it. They're starting to share the gospel, and they're getting things revealed to them because they have a childlike heart, because they're going to rejoice in the Father's will, because they're going to give glory to him, because they went out and were sent out and were obedient. This is being revealed to them, and they're going to gain more understanding. Meanwhile, the Pharisees were over on the sidelines going like, I'm not doing that. And nothing was revealed to them because they were the learned and the wise, and they were not teachable like the disciples. So now we can hop over to Luke 2. If we're going to talk about a childlike heart, where we all need to start in order to grow, a teachable heart is a word I love. Let's look at Jesus when he was teachable in Luke chapter 2. Before all the disciples reached that point in their training, they needed the teachable heart. So in Luke 2, everyone with me, verse 41. This is the child Jesus. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. But when the feast was ended and they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. Maddie had a dream last night. Like, we went on a trip, and I forgot our kids. Who's watching? Just to put us in the scripture. I think she stressed out from that dream. After 3 days, they found him, don't worry, in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And here's the childlike heart of King Jesus. Submissive to his parents, increasing in wisdom and stature, but also listening and asking questions to the teachers. The people, you could argue, would one day crucify him and be his enemy and argue with him about everything. But he's humble enough to listen to them. So you know what? I could probably learn something from them. And a lot of us start right here, actually, every Sunday morning. Many disciples are humble listeners and asking questions. Having that teachable heart. Proverbs 26:12 says this, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. So I just think that this is what Jesus had modeled for the disciples. In fact, even later in his ministry, he was still asking questions to the Pharisees in just a challenging way. But he had a teachable heart, so they had a teachable heart. For us today as well, in our discipleship and our one another relationships, we don't have a teachable heart. Discipleship is just impossible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You just can't disciple a person who isn't willing to be taught, or isn't willing to be influenced, or to learn from one another, instruct one another. That's one of our commands in the Bible.
Yeah.
But you can't disciple someone who doesn't want to be discipled, right?
Right. Come on, Billy.
So I note it down this way. I'll read my notes. A teachable heart is this. It's a voracious desire to acquire more insight, to never feel as though you've arrived, to always be open to instruction from people who you trust, to seek avenues of discovery, growth, learning, willing to do the hard work of study and practice that includes sitting at the feet of others and learning from them, willing to take guidance. That's how Jesus' disciples learned from him. That's how I appreciate even some people in this room. We have Sunday night coaching calls. Tonight we're having, who is it? I need to think. Oh, Brock and Ann Robbie. They're going to be on with us tonight. If anyone wants to join, you can join. So they're going to talk to us about having a relational focus amongst house churches. And they have 120 disciples, nobody on staff down in the Bay Area. So I think maybe we can learn something from them. Mm-hmm. Or 2 weeks from now, we're going to have Garth on. He's going to be back from the small church conference and talk to us about small church principles. I can learn from Garth. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have Darren Overstreet on, talking to us about engaging Pacific Northwest progressive culture.
Wow.
And how do you share the gospel in
that? That's cool.
Mm-hmm. But none of that's going to matter if I think I already know everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen.
So I want to be humble towards them on a Sunday night call like that. Here's the danger in it. You know, why talk about this? Or is it really dangerous? You know, that's a strong word, Joey. You know, do we need to nitpick this? Can't we just leave people be if they don't seem to be very teachable? Well, Proverbs 10:17 says this: whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. I've yet to see like a teachable person lead others astray.
Right.
You know, a humble person.
Mm-hmm.
But according to this, an unteachable person can lead others to destruction.
Yeah.
I think somebody, if their heart is hardened, they can rub off on other people to also have a hard heart and no longer be teachable. So we want to have the opposite. If you are looking at that image, I don't have time to get into it, but I talked about listening in order to have this awareness and to bring it around to the gospel, which we will in a minute. That's listening to the Spirit, the same Spirit who wrote the Word of God and that is now in you as a disciple of Jesus. Listening to the Spirit to grow in your awareness. Not only speaking each situation, just listening to Him. There's a season in my life when I wasn't teachable. If I heard a lesson and I didn't like the person giving the lesson, and then somehow my heart would be hardened and I wouldn't receive any of the teaching.
Come on, Joe. Come on.
I wouldn't take notes. You know, I had some bitterness in my heart. And then by not taking notes, man, how could the Holy Spirit work with me?
Mm-hmm.
How could I listen to the Holy Spirit?
Come on, Joe.
Jesus took notes when he wrote in the sand, right? So, all right, so if you have some awareness then, let's just say you were listening to the Spirit, and you said, I'm going to have a teachable heart. That's not awareness, that's ignorance. Now, moving into awareness, moving into conscious incompetence. All right, I know I should have a quiet time. I know there's this thing called the gospel, but I don't really know enough about it. Here's a scripture to inspire us. Colossians 3:16. This is one we haven't gotten to talk about too much in Bend yet. And it says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. And right there, letting the word dwell in us, or being full of the Spirit, is parallel to that. Teaching and admonishing one another only happens if we're teachable, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it continues, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God, and whatever you do, in word or deed, which the gospel needs both, we're going to share it, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Letting the word of God dwell in you richly. It's a parallel to Ephesians 5, being full of the Spirit. Letting Jesus dwell so deeply within you that it overflows in word and deed. And that's what starts to happen when you're having a quiet time over and over. That's what starts to happen as you grow in gospel competency. You don't have to think about it as much. It's just the overflow of the heart. I think you can relate. If I'm having a quiet time every day, it's a lot easier to share my faith.
Mm-hmm.
I have ideas. I have the Word of God, things fresh on my mind to share. But when I'm out of practice, I don't think it's really dwelling in me richly. We There's a phrase I love, but it's moving from unbelief to belief in Jesus in every area of life. So if he's going to dwell in his word deeply within me, is there going to be an overflow in word and deed and admonishing others in this area of my life? Or do I kind of segregate that? Great example, we all just had Thanksgiving and a lot of Thanksgiving conversations, right? Mm-hmm. Ranging from who knows what, like Beyonce and the Renaissance and the Civil War game about to happen. All right, nobody talks about it. Everyone is talking about the gospel, okay. Politics, maybe, the economy.
Yeah.
I don't think I talked about either of those, but maybe Kelsey did. Okay, yeah. But sometimes, if you're like me, it's a little difficult for the gospel to touch down on planet Earth. It's like, no, it's not normal to talk about that. That's kind of this alien thing. When the gospel very much does need to touch down on planet Earth. We need to have a full invasion of the gospel, taking it into every area of life. That overflow from the heart. But sometimes we hide it, or it's a little bit like, you know, come back to the mothership with me and we'll distract you. And it doesn't get integrated into all of life. And so we make it this is normal life, and if I'm going to talk about the gospel, I need to take you to some other weird environment. Competency is bringing it into all of life. It's touching it down on planet Earth. So if you're looking at the image there, it's the idea of gospel fluency. You know, when you're fluent in something, you can speak it, right? So you might need to have some gospel intentionality at first. And you just think to yourself, how can the gospel live? Jesus is my king and he died for me, be spoken into this situation? Or that Jesus brings healing, how can you speak into this situation? And the more you share and talk about it, the more fluent you become. And imagine what it could look like if that shaped every area of your life. Because when it doesn't, sometimes we can truncate the gospel down and say, well, it's this set of doctrinal beliefs that maybe I'll share with you if I'm able to open my Bible. Or maybe we truncate the gospel down to just evangelism or sharing or something like that, rather than all of life. So I need to bring on some examples, just even saying that. What's he talking about? The gospel informing all of life. Well, if you want to know if the church has a gospel culture, it's pretty easy, and you don't need to overthink it. Just ask the church to have some good news sharing. Or within your family, have some good news sharing. Good news is gospel. That's gospeling one another. So we try to get better at our gospel intentionality, at our gospel fluency on Sunday mornings in Bend. We have some good news sharing, and we're not perfect at it. Sometimes there's some critics, and it's like, more because we're like, I can't remember what happened yesterday. But we need to think about what happened yesterday and remember that God is good throughout the week. The better you are at good news sharing, the better you're going to be at gospel sharing. And how good God is in your life.
Amen.
How you can share that with other people.
Amen.
That might be the best practical from this whole sermon. How is your good news culture will determine how your gospel culture is. So keep speaking that language to each other.
Amen.
And then when other people hear that, if they're coming into your family, if they're around your marriage, if they're around your church and you guys are sharing good news, we had a guest out to my friend's giving over in Bend, and I asked what everyone was thankful for. And a guest said, I'm thankful for salvation in Jesus Christ. And
amen.
I was like, ah, man, I didn't say that. they took it from me. I was rebuked. But when other people hear that, I get rebuked. When other people hear good news, they say, man, I can do that too. Oh yeah, there's an example of them sharing good news that their roommate brought them a burrito and they felt blessed by that. Well, I could do that too, you know?
Yep.
And so the gospel becomes less daunting, becomes more normalized in our culture. The better you are sharing it. And then people can hear faith lived out. They hear good news, they hear about the gospel lifestyle, they hear the kingdom of God being made tangible. And if all of those words sound fancy, hear this. A tangible kingdom life lived on mission is really about living ordinary, everyday life in community with great gospel intentionality. Mm-hmm. It's just everyday, ordinary life with some gospel intentionality.
Amen.
So halfway through, then if you go out and apply this, I just gave a couple of practicals. That's moving into the conscious competence. All right, I know I should do this. I know a bit of how to do this. And now I have to have a lot of that gospel intentionality in my ordinary life in order to do this, in order to share good news with people. So I want to share from Deuteronomy 6.
Come on, Joey. This is awesome.
Do I go?
Deuteronomy 6, I'll read verse 1, and then we'll read verses 4 through 9. It says, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You can kind of hear that all of life right there, right? And every area of life, when you wake up and go to bed, go over here, impress them upon one another, teach them. It's integrated. Mm-hmm. It's integrated. And this is the Shema. It's one of the most important concepts of the Jewish faith. It's this Hebrew word there in Deuteronomy 6:4 where it says, hear, O Israel. Very important idea. Hear doesn't just mean if you have the ability to hear. Hear meaning to hear to obey. It's not in one ear and out the other. It's in one ear and to the rest of your body. It's going to be applied in word and deed. That's crucial to understand. And that's right at that point of application for the gospel. Not just hearing for understanding, but hearing for application, hearing for obeying. So, sometimes, I'll speak for myself. Well, I already kind of did put myself down. Yeah, when I don't let the Holy Spirit work, to say I have bitterness against the speaker. Disciples are awesome at being listeners. Every Sunday morning, we give someone the honor of speaking to us. And we nod along, and we might even say, amen, and this is good stuff. maybe, I don't know. But sometimes we can just hear it and have a pattern of quiet obstinance. Mm-hmm. Which is humble, but it's not teachable.
Right.
And that's the difference. We don't actually receive the counsel or advice that's given. Maybe we hear it, but we have a pattern of not doing it week after week after week. A pattern of doing nothing with it. And that's kind of, I don't know how else to describe it, but wise in our own eyes. I know this, I've heard this, I got this. And so we say amen, and we remain hidden with this humble facade. Then the application doesn't happen. Then the gospel doesn't get shared. We think that by knowing it, we've already accomplished or done it, and really we haven't. Just because we know something doesn't mean we know how to do it or that we are doing it. So, did anyone see that Civil War game?
Yes! Just like a stab through my heart.
That's a major matter.
Well, to take take an illustration from that, it would be very odd if the coach pulled the team aside and said, okay, guys, here's the play. And the team said, okay, and they all nodded along and said, amen, this is what we're going to do. And they blew the whistle, and then they all just sat down on the bench.
That's so true.
No, they do it, right? And they move the ball down the field.
Hopefully.
They try. They might make some fumbles, but if they don't make some fumbles, the ball's not going anywhere. What's more important is that when the world sees the church not making the plays, not moving the gospel down the field, they say, listen, why are they all just sitting there? This is the strangest thing ever.
Good point, Joe.
That's true.
They're never going to win as a team if they don't go forward.
Come on, Joey.
And then rather than seeing this Shema or gospel lifestyle lived out, the world sees people, fans on the bench, and they hear us and they hear how wise we are, and, you know, I know what you ought to do, and we're kind of like the football fans, you know, and we're sitting on the couch, and go, oh, he should have done it this way, that way, but we're not actually playing football, right?
I can do it better.
Yeah, I don't play sports ball. It's not my thing.
Sports ball.
And then we just try to come up with applications Sunday after Sunday. So we dove into Luke 4 last Sunday, talked about, hey, how can you bring up these gospel conversations with your family at Thanksgiving, with the people you're celebrating with or grieving with, and we all come up with next steps. Here's what I think I'll do. And we all encourage each other as a team to go forward and do that. Jesus calls out that facade, though, where I know everything, or yeah, he should have passed the ball this way. Matthew 23:3, he says, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you, speaking of the Pharisees to his disciples, be careful to do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Jesus takes the Shema idea into his ministry when he says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Whoever is willing to obey, do it. But don't be like the Pharisees who say, do it, and don't obey. That's a scripture that always convicts me. So we'll end out in Luke 4 then. If we overcome that hurdle that takes a lot of intentionality to actually do it, to actually run the ball down the field, say, you know what, I'm going to the grocery store this week. I think I could bring up the gospel there. Yeah, I'm going to do that. When we start to get to the place where we're dripping God, it looks like this in Luke chapter 4. To give a Jesus example, I'll start in verse 14 of Luke 4. And this is the unconscious competence. This is integrated throughout all of life. It's similar to the Shema, where we're writing it and we're pressing it when we wake up and lie down. But here's what Jesus says. Luke 4:14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. And hey, remember, listen to the Spirit. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then there's the overflow that's like this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news, gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's one that we want to be fulfilled in our hearing as well. But guess who he wants to fulfill it? Yeah, we want to bring that good news into every area of our life, as Jesus did. And it's not about glorifying us, it's giving praise and rejoicing the Holy Spirit and the Father, right? And so to integrate that, when and how have you experienced the good news of the kingdom? There's a description of it right here. There's people being set free in your life, or you're experiencing freedom. People lifted out of spiritual poverty or blindness, people being healed of sickness. Do you have eyes to see how Jesus is fulfilling that in your life? Are you open to him working in your life in that way? Because that's the good news that needs shared with others. So don't think gospel that's telling people like how to avoid hell and end up in heaven. That's a gospel that only has to do with the afterlife. This is a gospel of word and deed that's being fulfilled right now. This is a kingdom that's being made tangible in our life. Word and deed, like that Colossians 3:16 had mentioned. This is what we can admonish one another with, as that verse told us. It's bringing the gospel to people in a way that affects their life in the here and now, where they can see the gospel. Yes, it brought me freedom. Yeah, that person blessed me. And watch for the gospel in unexpected places, because maybe you're not the one bringing good news and redemption to your community. Maybe you need to listen for where gospel work is already being done and then go join in that work. Wow, they're feeding the homeless turkeys down the road. Or even just speaking with your family.
Are the turkeys homeless?
It's growing population, it's a big problem. That would be an unexpected gospel. They're bringing redemption. No, it's identifying, wow, my coworker is doing this thing that's very Christ-like. So you can say that's very Christ-like of you. It's the intersect of your life and their life where you can bring up some good news. The weeds fell in my neighborhood this past week. And so I tell my neighbors, I'll take those off your hands. I'll use them in my compost. I got neighbors coming over to give me leaves. I'm like, so Christ-like of you. You know, this is such good news for me and blessing in my life. And let me give some stuff to you somehow. Have some reciprocation here. Or just another way, my neighborhood doesn't know me as the gospel guy or the ministry guy, but every other month we have the Redmond Food Project. I collect food from them and just send it on to the food bank so they know me as the guy who's taking my food. No. Helping out to grow our community in that way.
That's awesome, Joey.
Well, God is awesome. So point to what Jesus is at right here.
Yes.
And really, my neighbors are awesome because they're the ones giving the food, and I'm just
taking it. Yeah, amen.
Right. You know, already yesterday, Pueblo Vida Memorial. A lot of people sharing scripture, helping each other grieve, speaking gospel into each other's life. That was a lot of gospel intentionality. So discover the gospel in your own life. Where in your life do you interact with the people who you see in Luke 4? People who need sight, healing, freedom, lifted from poverty, who need blessing proclaimed in their life. Think about the people in your neighborhood, in your job, in your school, in the places where you spend time. People you interact with. Those are the spaces where the gospel needs to cross over. Then be the good news to them. They aren't already being good news to you. And then just when you feel like, man, I got this all figured out. It's all integrated throughout. I got this gospel lifestyle. I'm dripping God. I have Shema actions with Shema statements. This obedience to God. And I'm telling people why I'm living under the authority of Jesus. And I'm sharing the gospel with them. I'm just full of spirit. And the word of God is dwelling in me richly. Well, go back to being teachable again, because you probably have to discover new avenues of where the gospel can go through in your life.
Amen.
When you're done learning, you're just done. Reese Nayland told us this on a recent discipleship call. When you're done learning, you're just done. It's what you learn after you already know everything that really counts. I think that should be our relationship to gospel competency. So I can always increase in learning new ways to share the gospel. I can always be asking what areas of my life don't really have the gospel in them. In my relationships, in my priorities, in my time management, in my sexuality. Does the gospel speak into all of it? In times of change, learners inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists. So I just say in closing, let's discover the gospel in that new world together. Because it's a world that's desperately hurting for the gospel, that needs to see the gospel in word and deed. It's a world that needs us to grow in our competency to live the gospel and share the gospel. So let's discover the good news once more in our life, in our community, in our conversations, and in gospeling and good news in one another.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.